just sang a song with a line in it that mercy triumphs over judgment. Both of those things are attributes of God. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of judgment. Is he one? Is he the other? Is he both? That's a little commercial for the sermon series that starts next Sunday. If you were here the last two Sundays, you would have heard me say that I was hoping to start our sermon series on the identity of God today. Well, we had a little schedule change because I came down with this cold that's going around this week, and Thursday and Friday, which are normally the days that I set aside for sermon preparation, I was completely wiped out, and I just knew that I wasn't sure I could even be here this morning, so I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll call my dear friend, Henry Buchwalter, and I'll see, first of all, will he be in town this weekend, and second, would he be willing on such short notice to bring a message? And he's agreed to do so, so I'm very thankful for that. So come on up, Henry. Henry is going to bring a word this morning that he said to me he believes will be an encouraging and challenging word for the new year. So I'm like, fantastic. And so we will be starting the series on the identity of God. In other words, the attributes of God. We'll start that next Sunday. And you'll see a little insert in your program about that. What I'm using personally as a guide for the series is the book by A.W. Tozer called The Knowledge of the Holy. Some of you may have that. If you would like that as extra reading material as we go through the series, you can certainly purchase that. Amazon, Christian book distributors, you can get them and find them anywhere. So that'll begin next Sunday. Enough of that. So Henry's gonna minister to us this morning. I'm thankful for that. Let me pray for you, and then you can go from there. Father, I thank you for my brother Henry, for his willingness to step in on short notice and bring this message this morning. God, I thank you for the long journey that Living Hope has had with Henry and Millie, and just being able to walk with them and their ministry, their expanding ministry over all these years. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak clearly through Henry and those things that you've put on his heart, that you will just breathe them through him very powerfully this morning. God, use our brother to minister to us this morning. God, we pray that our minds would be alert, but our hearts would be open to receive from you all that you have for us this day. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Henry.
Thank you. Well, good morning. It's so good to see each of you here today. And I pray that all of us came today with expectancy, believing for the Holy Spirit to speak to us through his word. And you know, it's very easy, speaking for myself sometimes, to go into a service and it's like, well, it's another service. But you know, God wants us to always come with an open heart, a receptive heart, an obedient heart, and a worshipful heart. And I really, there's just been so many prophetic words spoken for 2017, and I just really believe that God is indeed going to, wants to pour out his, and will pour out his spirit in a mighty way in 2017, and I just want to be a part of what he is doing in the world today. He's calling us into a closer and deeper relationship with him. God is a mighty God, and he's a gracious God, he's a holy God, he's a righteous God, And so as we surrender ourselves to him, it will bring unfathomable joy in our life, and we will be a blessing to his kingdom. Before I go further this morning, I just sense that maybe in the room this morning a few people came maybe feeling a little bit weak today, or a little bit maybe just the Lord was just giving me a little word about maybe someone has a stomach situation. Is there anyone here today? Just, we're not going to ask you to come front, but we'd like to pray for you before we begin. Anyone here today just maybe feeling a little bit off under the weather here this morning? Anyone? Did I see? Yeah, yes, okay. A few hands around here. Yes, okay. Hey, let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just lift up these individuals today, Lord. We just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just infuse them even now with your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, that you would just bring health and wholeness to them, whatever it is, oh God. Lord, just I pray that your spirit, Lord, would just strengthen them, not just in body, but in soul and spirit at this moment. And Lord, together that all of us today will be open to receive your word here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to begin here this morning with a picture from the Olympics. You know, what's amazing to me in the Olympics is that the people who compete, particularly in the running and in the swimming competitions, maybe a few others as well, it's so amazing to me is that the difference between the gold medal, the silver medal, or the bronze, or maybe even not winning at all, often boils down to just a few hundredths of a second. Imagine it. I mean, it's not even a second, but a hundredth. It's a split second, really, between gold or not even winning a medal at all. And it's like, what motivates people to invest thousands of dollars, countless hours of activity, preparation, to achieve such a goal, which in the end they may not even win the medal? And the only thing I can think of is a passion for the sport that they are doing. And they must have this deep passion. We all know that if we want to win a gold medal, they have to have a deep passion to receive it. Recently, I read a story about this lady, Catherine Booth. We're going back now into the 1800s. She co-founded the Salvation Army with her husband, William Booth, in the 1800s. And I read this about Catherine. It said, in Catherine's relatively short lifetime, she made an incredible world-changing impact for the kingdom of God. She nurtured her 8 children and raised them as faithful soldiers of the cross. She used her gift of writing and speaking to awaken the Church of England from its spiritual stupor. She visited the poor, saved the lives of sick children, and brought the gospel to many alcoholics and criminals, helping them become transformed by the power of Christ. She supported her husband and helped him establish and grow one of the largest and most powerful Christian forces in history. She was so outward focused, so tireless in her preaching of the gospel, so relentless in calling the church to triumph in Christianity, that she forever changed millions of lives. And she did all of this, what is the key? Out of a passionate, thriving, personal walk with Christ that never grew dull or dutiful. Now, you would say, wow, she must have been a superwoman, having a lot of stamina. Well, the fact is, Catherine had many serious health challenges for the majority of her life, including TB, heart trouble, scoliosis of the spine. She once said, I can scarcely remember a day of my life which has been free from pain. And yet, rather than allowing her weakness to limit her ability to fulfill God's calling upon her life, she rose above it, leaning on his strength and trusting that he would sustain her for the task before her. She had a conquering heart. It was a passion that was in her life. Her relentless spiritual passion impacted the world profoundly. At the end of her life, in 1890, at the age of 61, 50,000 people gathered to hear her last message. And shortly thereafter, 50,000 came to her funeral. And those numbers are truly astounding, especially in light of the fact that there were no planes or cars back then to make travel easier. When I read stories like that, it's really inspiring to learn of their passion, their commitment. And so today, I believe that if we're going to see God move in our nation, we're going to see God move in our life, he's calling us all to a deeper love relationship with him. And the title of the message this morning is Being a Passionate Christ Follower. First song this morning, it said, you call me deeper still into your love. You call me deeper still in your love. God is calling us. He is calling us deeper into his love. That is his heart. That's his desire for us. I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, in the guest Bible, it's page 803. And the first 11 chapters of Romans, the Apostle Paul speaks very eloquently about who God or who Christ is, his wonderful plan of redemption, the fact that he saved us from the law and how grace has redeemed us and the work and purpose of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's just an incredible theological impartation that the Apostle Paul gives in the first 11 chapters of Romans. And then he concludes that in verse 23 of chapter 11 by saying, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever." So Paul, at the end of this impartation of the revelation of God's love for his people, gives us beautiful doxology of praise to God. And then he goes into chapter 12 and he says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing in God. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." And so God is asking us to and showing us that we should be motivated by God's mercy. In light of all that God has done for us, we should be motivated to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. We give our whole self to him. And then in verse 1, he also says, we do this as a spiritual act of worship. Verse 2, he says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And this is why it's so important that our mind is transformed, because there's so many things that flood into our mind from the world. But when our mind is transformed by the power of God and by his word, then we will begin to think God's words, his thoughts, his actions, and be motivated by his love. And certainly that is the foundation for being a passionate Christ follower. In the next several verses, he talks about various gifts and functions in the body of Christ. And then we come to verses 9 to 21. I'm not going to read them all, but in this section, he gives about between 25 and 30 exhortations of how we should live out our Christian life. In other words, he gave us the foundation, he gave the basis. Now he says, this is the expectation of how we should live out our Christian life. Now, if I was going to preach on all those verses here this morning, we'd probably be here about maybe till 8 o'clock tonight, so I'm not going to do that. I'm going to narrow it down to one verse, verse 11. Verse 11 says, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your fervor serving the Lord." Let's say that together. Never be lacking in zeal, but keeping spiritual fervor serving the Lord. All of us know that in the body of Christ today, there is a lot of complacency, a lot of spiritual indifference. It can even affect my own life at times. It's easy sometimes to just kind of sit back and allow the flesh and things to creep into our life. But the Apostle Paul says, in light of all that God has done for us, never, never be lacking in zeal. The New Living Testament says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. The Berean Study Bible says, do not let your zeal subside. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And so there's a part that we must do. In other words, being zealous for the Lord doesn't just happen automatically. Now, it's not something that we work up in our own strength, and we'll talk about that. But rather, we must choose to serve the Lord and be zealous for the Lord. So what does it mean to be a passionate Christ follower? What does it mean to be a passionate Christ follower? And I have some notes in your bulletin. And unfortunately, I don't have the source for this quote. Fulfilling your purpose will require passion, which is zeal, fervency, or enthusiasm. Purpose has to do with our head. Thinking right about thinking about why we're here and understanding our calling. Passion has to do with our heart, the internal fire that motivates us and energizes us to fulfill our purpose and to do God's will. And of course, we know that God is the source of our passion, and it's the Holy Spirit that comes to ignite that holy fire within us. And we can think of the apostles on the day of Pentecost, before Pentecost, at the cross, Peter denied Jesus, the other disciples fled, they ran away. But after Pentecost, they were infused with this holy fire, this holy passion. And Peter stood up among all the people and he said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." And he went on to preach a very powerful sermon. And at the end, 3,000 people came to faith in Jesus Christ. And so being a passionate Christ follower, I just want to say this. It's not about being super busy and doing a lot of activity. You know, even doing some good activity sometimes can get in the way of our being a passionate Christ follower. Sometimes I hear Christians say, and I've been guilty of saying it myself, "Oh, I'm so busy." Well, are we busy about doing what God wants us to do, or are we just simply busy because we're not focused on what he wants us to do? And so I believe as Christ followers, if we're going to be a passionate Christ follower, we need to be very focused. What is it that you want us to do today? Now, natural church development, that's an assessment tool that churches can use to define the status of their congregation. And one, they have like seven, I believe, categories. And one of them is passionate spirituality. And they say that passionate spirituality as living committed lives and practicing one's faith with joy and enthusiasm. And so we can just stop and ask ourselves this morning, are we excited in our service and our ministry to the Lord? Is it something that fills us with joy when we think about being a follower of Jesus Christ? Dr. Jonathan David, in his book, Apostolic Strategy, says, and I found this to be very helpful, he says, "A wish is a passive mental thought pattern with the expectation of seeing fulfillment sometime in the future." You know, maybe sometimes we look at a person and we say, "Wow," you know, we see a person that's really close to the Lord and we say, "Well, I wish I could be like, you know, that person, that brother, that sister. I just wish I could be like them." Well, you know, a wish is nice, but it's never going to get us to the desired result. A next step is a desire. A desire is an active, strong-willed effort to bring into fulfillment the expected event or answer. And so that's the next step. So now you start to put into action. Yes, I really want to be closer to the Lord. I have this desire, and you begin to take some action. But thirdly, a passion is a driving force of energy that shapes a person's lifestyle, their thinking and action, until that person sees a total fulfillment of what they are pursuing. So you see the progression. And the question all of us, including myself, and I'm preaching to myself as much as anyone here this morning, is we need to ask ourselves the question, do we have that passion? Are we willing to put aside anything that would stand as a hindrance to our being fully devoted, fully committed to Jesus Christ and his kingdom? I just recall a couple weeks ago when we were sharing testimonies, I went home that day feeling so refreshed and encouraged by all the testimonies. I remember Mary Novak, I believe, shared how last summer God had just given her this desire to, she said, "Lord, I want to know you better. I want to have more passion for you," something to that end. And so you see, it began not just a wish, but I believe, or a desire, but I believe that there was a passion there to motivate her so that at the end of the year, she could step back and say, "Yes, I saw changes in my life." And so all of us, I believe, as we're starting this new year, need to ask ourselves the question, Do we have the passion of the Lord within us? And that brings me back again to the Olympics. It's passion that motivates these people to invest themselves fully, money, time, energy, everything that they have in an effort to achieve a gold medal. But listen, you and I are not just looking for a gold medal. You and I are looking to receive an everlasting crown of righteousness and one that will last for eternity. So I should also mention this morning that there are also unholy passions. And Paul the Apostle refers to this, first of all, in Colossians 3:5, where he says, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you." So again, an action on our part. And this includes sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Another one in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 2 to 5, "For you know what commandment we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion, like the Gentiles who do not know God." And so Paul is writing these letters to the churches, and obviously there was issues of sexual immorality within the church, and he felt that he needed to address it. And so he says, yes, there is a right passion, but there's also an unholy passion, and we need to overcome that. And so yielding, obviously, when one yields to unholy passion, it's going to kill spiritual passion. If a person is really trying to seek and to follow God with a passionate heart desire, and yet they keep falling back into lustful desires, it's going to kill their spiritual vitality. Next, I would like to look this morning, why is being a passionate Christ follower important? I believe, first of all, to fulfill Christ's command to love God wholeheartedly. In Mark 12:30, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." There's a lot of alls in there. And so God is calling us to a full commitment to him. And so, as I said before, we know that there are many things that are competing for our attention, and sometimes even good things. But the Lord is calling for absolute devotion. So to love God with all our heart also means that we will love others. And so when Jesus called his disciples to follow him, he led them to hurting people. Now the Apostle Paul, and I would like you to turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5:14. That's page 818 in the Guest Bible. 2 Corinthians 5:14. He says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." And so, can you and I say this morning that God's love compels us? God's love motivates us in every action in life. Paul's revelation of God's love was so compelling that he was willing to endure all kinds of trials in his life. Just yesterday, I read an article that from some organization, I don't know how they gather these statistics, but they said that in 2016, it's estimated that 90,000 people around the world died for their faith. 90,000 people. In some ways, I thought it might have been more than that, but 90,000 people is a lot of people who died for their faith. And I'm sure that these individuals were individuals who had a passion to follow him. When I think how easy in many ways we have it here in America, we can come to church, we don't have fear of soldiers coming in or taking us or taking us all to prison or somebody coming in and taking the pastor. There are some segments of society that are rising up against Christianity, and we need to continue to pray and take a stand. I think we're going to see probably an increase of that, and it's all the more reason why we need to be passionate in our love and our service for the Lord. But these people around the world who live in very hostile climates need our prayers. I try to pray regularly for the persecuted church. But these are people who are willing to take a stand. You know, they're willing to go out into the desert. They're willing to go out into a basement. We get a newsletter from a ministry that reaches out in Iran, and I praise the Lord that, from what I understand, literally hundreds if not thousands of people are coming to Christ in Iran. That's good news in light of all the negative things that we read about Iran. But nevertheless, these people come into a house and they can't sing very loud. They do baptisms in a bathtub, and they have to be very careful when they leave that they don't leave in groups so that they draw attention. Think of that. These people are willing, they have so much passion for the Lord that they're willing to make these sacrifices, even die for him. And I believe God is calling us here in America to wake up to the realities of what is happening in the world so that we will grow more passionately in love with him. So I believe a passionate Christ follower would be motivated with this type of love. And I believe the result is true ministry. As you know, Millie and I give oversight to a network called Harvest Fellowship of Churches. And I would just like to share a story about three different pastors. First is Jim and Andrea Miller. I pastored in Bridgeport, Connecticut for, I believe, about 17 years. And then God called him, or 27 years, actually. And then God called him to the Bronx, New York, where currently he pastors a congregation in North Bronx. And recently, we just ordained him as an associate overseer for the churches in Connecticut. Now, Jim really has a passion for the lost. I of all the pastors in our network, this brother, he loves to go to the street. There's nothing gives him greater joy than reaching out to lost people. And last Saturday, as you know, it was a cold, snowy day on the Northeast Corridor, the 95 Corridor. And they've been doing prayer walks in the Bronx and certain areas. And so he told me on the phone this week that he was thinking about calling it off, but they went out, the wind chill, it was snowing pretty heavily there in New York. The wind chill was probably in the single digits, but they went out and did their prayer walk. Why? Because of a passion, a passionate love for the Lord. Now, years ago, Jim, when he was in Bridgeport, and some of you may have heard this testimony before, but when Jim was in Bridgeport, there was a lady came into the church, a lady on the right. Her name is Ingrid Gordon. And Ingrid was a hopelessly lost person, involved in prostitution, alcohol, and so forth. But she came to the Lord under Jim and Andrea's ministry in Gospel Light. And she said, "Please pray for my husband, Winston. He's heavily into alcohol, into drugs." And so Jim would go to his house, and knock on the door, Pastor Winston would peep out a side window somewhere and see it was him. He would go out the back door. But Jim just kept going back. And his wife was just praying, and the church was praying that Winston would come to the Lord. And finally, praise God, to make a long story short, one day he came to the Lord, and then he went to Teen Challenge. He received rehabilitation. And today, Winston later became an elder, and then he became a church planner, and today him and his wife pastor a church in Waterbury, Connecticut. And I don't know of any person who is more passionate for the Lord. This man is about 73, I believe, but he is so full of life, so full of energy, reaching out also to lost people. Now, when he was in Teen Challenge, they would send him out in teams to the psychiatric, he was in Baltimore, Maryland, and they sent him to the psych ward in a hospital in Baltimore. And in the psych ward one day, he met Gerald Mahan. That's Gerald and Phyllis Mahan. And so Gerald was in there because he had been heavily addicted to drugs. And Gerald was so lost. He had been in and out of rehab. This was his fifth time. And he had lost, his wife had left him. He lost his family, basically lost his money, everything. And here he was in a psych ward. And Winston now had found deliverance. And so he went into the hospital and he talked to Gerald. And Gerald said, "Winston, there is no hope for me. I am so lost. I have tried it before." And he said that Winston got down on his knees and he says, "Gerald, taste and see that the Lord is good." And Gerald did. And Gerald accepted Christ, was rehabilitated, and today Gerald Mahan and his wife have a worldwide evangelistic ministry, travel to the nations. They've been used of God in tremendous ways. Every year, Gerald comes back to visit Winston, his spiritual father, and he calls Jim Miller his spiritual grandfather. And every year, he comes back to these churches and ministers to them. So I just share those little testimonies this morning as individuals in our relationship who have passion, who have a desire to truly follow after the Lord. And their testimony, their experience is a motivation to me. And so, you know, as we love God with all our hearts, I believe that we also experience His love. You know, we take care of our grandson about one day a week, maybe three times a month. And he's 3 years old, just a wonderful age. And we've been doing this since he's about 4 months old. And, you know, we just pour out love to this little boy. But, you know, he reciprocates. And he hugs us. And he throws his arms around us. And he says, and we're teaching him a little Spanish. He says, "Te amo, Grandpa. I love you, Grandpa. Te amo, Grandma. I love you, Grandma." And so, you know, as we give love, we also receive love. And I believe when a church is captured by God's love, they will also receive greater and fuller revelation of His love. Rhonda Huey, in her book, Desperate for His Presence, just gives a few things that speak about what happens when a church is captured by God's love. It's not in your notes. If you want to write it down, you can. It says, number one, she becomes beautiful, fragrant, and attractive. When a church is captured by God's love, and that begins within our heart as an individual, but when an entire congregation is captured by God's love, they become beautiful, fragrant, and attractive. And I thank God for Living Hope. I believe God's love has invaded us. I think all of us would say here this morning that, you know, we want more of His love. We desire more of His grace upon our life. But, you know, when there's a love atmosphere, that is what attracts people, an atmosphere of love. Let me tell you another story. Millie and I were missionaries in Belize in Central America. And in the 80s, we met another couple by the name of Billy and Peggy Deloge. And Billy and Peggy were formerly in the 70s, they were hippies. And he had graduated with a master's from a master's in engineering from, what's a major university in California? Not MIT. Stanford University, yes. He graduated with a master's degree from Stanford University. His father was a multimillionaire industrialist, but Billy became totally disillusioned with life, totally disillusioned. And and I may have shared this story before, but anyhow, he and the lady he was hanging out with, Peggy, they just renounced all money, everything, and they went off to Hawaii. I guess they had money to get to Hawaii, but once they got there, they just lived out in the mountains, picking berries by day and going in and raiding the garbage cans at McDonald's and Pizza Hut in the evenings just to get some other nourishment. And but finally, they found their way back to America. Again, to make a long story short, they found their way back to America, and one day they were in Alabama, and somebody invited them to a church. And they came to this church. It was a big church, one of these large, a couple thousand people. And he said, you know, we both smelled bad. He had red hair, a ponytail that came to his waist. He wore a red headband and a big earring. And so he said, when we got to the door, he said, the usher greeted us very warmly and took us right down to the front of the church. And he said, they just seated us right down in the front. He said, that had never happened before. He said, I hung around a couple churches, but never happened. He said, we just felt so much love. And afterwards, people talked to us. And they reached out to us. And so then he said, we kept coming back. And eventually, they had a revelation of God's love. They cleaned up, both physically, but more so spiritually. They received Christ into their life. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. He went to seminary, and he got a master's degree in theology. And that's when we met him, when they arrived in Belize. And Billy, again, was one of these passionate people, not afraid of anyone. And later, they were missionaries in the Philippines, also working with pro-life ministry in Romania. I'm not exactly sure where they're at today, but they had this powerful testimony. But how did it begin? It began when he stepped into a church where there's this love, where there's this acceptance, where there was this receptivity. And Living Hope this morning, when we become a church that fully loves God, fully embraces his love, and we reach out in love to others, we will see Living Hope Church grow. Secondly, what happens when a church is captured by God's love? Her priorities change. It's not what do I want to do, but what does God want us to do? Thirdly, her motivations change. And fourth, her activities change. And number five, I'm probably going too fast if you're writing it down, her confidence and securities increase. And sixthly, she becomes effective in ministry as she partners with Jesus. And so there's definitely a value in being captured by God's love. Secondly, here this morning, what is, let's see here. The second reason why being a passionate Christ follower is important is to advance God's kingdom, to advance God's kingdom. Matthew 11:12, and from the days of John the Baptist on to now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh by force. The New American Standard says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. So John the Baptist announced the kingdom of God. It was a new day. It was a new order. And there was an eager rush, as we know, for the people to go out to the Jordan River to hear John, this strange-looking man preaching the gospel out there by the Jordan River. And so I believe that taking the gospel by force implies an eagerness or zeal to grasp the kingdom of God. You see, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of righteousness. It's a kingdom of power. It's a kingdom of joy. It's a kingdom of peace. It's a kingdom of forgiveness. It's a kingdom of life. And it's a kingdom that people are drawn to in contrast to the old religious system. And so we know today that we're living in very turbulent times. And for the Christian, it could be the worst of times. But I also believe today it's the best of times. Because as the world gets darker, as we are possessed fully by Jesus Christ and our passionate Christ followers, our light will shine brighter and brighter, and our light will be an influence in the dark world in which we live. And so as passionate Christ followers, it's not a time for retreat. Rather, passionate Christ followers realize it's a time to advance. It's a time to advance God's kingdom with a holy violence, pushing back the powers of darkness. I think of the story of David and Goliath. And remember, David went down there to visit his brothers, and here's this big giant. And everybody's cowering because this giant is threatening Israel. And here's this young shepherd boy, a young teenager, and he says, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight. And then he went up to the giant and he says, you come to me with a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so we do not live today as passionate Christ followers with any sense of intimidation by the darkness that's in the world. Rather, we go forth in the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. Number three, why being a passionate Christ follower is important to experience God's presence. Now, I know God is sovereign. God can show up anywhere, anytime, the way he wants to do it. But Revelation 3:20 says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. And so the Savior, the Lord of the universe, he stands at the door, our door individually, the door of living hope, the door of the body of Christ. He stands at the door. He's knocking. He says, if you open the door, I will come in. I will sup with you. I will fellowship with you. And Jesus spoke these words to the church of Laodicea, and they thought they had everything, as it says in Revelation, but in fact, they were poor. They were impoverished. You know, it's just amazing to me that in spite of all the large ministries and mega churches, all kinds of media, it seems at times like the culture that we live in today is having a havoc on the church of Jesus Christ, and that's not God's will. You see, God is standing at the doorway. He's knocking on our hearts. He's knocking on our heart individually. He's knocking on our heart as a congregation, as the body of Christ. What's so amazing to me is that this awesome God of the universe, which we're going to be learning about in the coming weeks, this awesome, mighty, powerful God of the universe who created billions, if not trillions, of stars, desires an intimate relationship with us. He's calling us into himself. And I asked ourselves the question this morning, are we desperate for his presence? Psalm 42, 1 and 2, the psalmist says, as a deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And in the Song of Solomon, the beautiful love story, she says, the Shemite woman says, when I found the one my heart loves, I held him and would not let him go. And it's a picture of the church today. God is reaching out to us. And will we respond like the Shemite woman and say, when he held me, I will not let him go. I held him and would not let him go. You see, passivity, compromise, fear of man, intimidation, all these things must go. As we sang this morning about fear, I'm no longer a slave to fear. When we have a passionate love relationship with God, fear goes in the name of Jesus. I believe more than ever we need an all-consuming presence of Jesus to come with his mercy, with his compassion, with his healing, with his delivering power. We need a church. We need it. I need it. And finally here this morning, I just want to go over this very quickly. You have it in your notes. Passionate Christ followers will be, number one, desperate for God. I believe passionate Christ followers will be desperate for God. They will see the world through the eyes of Christ. When we look out into the world, we don't just, you know, sometimes when I'm walking in the street or I'm in a grocery store and we see the people around us, don't just see them as people, but try to visualize them. I try to visualize them at times. How would Christ see this person? Sometimes in our mind, it's easy to jump to conclusions about an individual. We need to be sensitive, even to pray, even to be intercede as we're along the way. I believe a passionate Christ follower will be restful and peaceful in their disposition. In other words, they will come to that place to know that his yoke is easy, his burden is light, that he wants to give us rest to our souls. I believe that they will be enthusiastic about life in general. Now, it's the Holy Spirit that inspires and motivates them. I believe that a passionate follower of Jesus Christ will be filled with hope. We will be a hopeful people. We will not just look at the world in a negative way. Even right now, you know, being an overseer, you get into all kinds of situations. And I sent out a request this week for a prayer concern, just a few individuals involving leadership that had kind of a clash. And you know, it's not a pretty picture. But, you know, as I look at the situation, I can't get down. I must be hopeful. I must believe that God will bring peace in that situation, that he will bring restoration, he'll bring healing. I believe a passionate Christ follower would be quick to forgive and release offenses. I believe that a person who holds grudges and is slow to forgive, there's nothing that is a greater drag on your Christian life than that. That's a tremendous hindrance. But a passionate Christ follower will be quick to forgive. We'll be quick to release offenses. Will we be offended? Yes. Will we release them quickly? Yes. Because we don't want to get bogged down. And then they will be engaging in spiritual warfare to defeat spiritual battles. I recently came across a story. There was this young lady just recently married sitting in an airport lobby. And next to her was a young mother. There was three children, a boy about 10, I guess 7, and then a small one she was holding in her arms. And they were waiting, obviously, for someone. And so a bit later, the father came through the entryway, and the little boy went running and jumped up into the arms of his father, and he embraced him and hugged him and kissed him. He left him down. He went, and the other little boy jumped up. And then afterwards, he took the one that the wife was holding, hugged this child, and then gave it to one of the other children. And then he affectionately hugged his wife and kissed her. And meanwhile, this lady who's sitting there was just kind of like mesmerized by all of this, and she was thinking, well, I wonder how long this man was away. Maybe he was away for a month or 6 months or something. So she finally got up the courage and she said, excuse me, but I'm just, how long were you away? And he said, 2 days. And she was like so shocked with all this beautiful emotion after being away just 2 days. And then she said this. She said, how long were you married? And he said, 12 years. And then she said, I hope, listen to the words, I hope that when I'm married 12 years, I will be just as passionate. And the man turned around and looked at her and he says, lady, don't hope, decide. And I think that's a word maybe for someone here this morning regarding your marriage, but more than that, I believe it's a word for all of us here today in terms of our relationship with Heavenly Father and with Jesus Christ. As we come into 2017, that we won't just hope to have a better relationship, a more passionate relationship with Father God, but rather in 2017, we will decide. We will do what is ever necessary to move into a deeper, passionate relationship with Father God. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. We just cry out to you today, Father, for your grace and mercy, O God, to flood into our heart, into our soul. Lord, that your spirit, Father, would just awaken our spirit, Father, where there is dryness, where there has been complacency, where there has been indifference, where there has been just a lack of zeal for you, Lord. And Father, we recognize that we can't drum this up in our own strength. We need to be infused by your love, Lord. We need to open our hearts. And so, Lord, today, we open our hearts. We open our spirits to you today again in a fresh way. We want to respond, Lord, to your love today. We want to respond to your grace, Lord. Oh, Father God, just minister to us, Lord. We just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just, even this morning, help individuals all across this room, oh God, today, just to take a new step forward today to really yield themselves a full and afresh to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to ask the worship team to come. We're going to sing a song I think I spoke to you about. And I would like for us all to stand as we sing this song. And as we sing this song today, if you in your heart saying, hey, I want to just in a fresh way make a commitment to God today to have a more passionate relationship with the Lord. And you just want to seal that by coming forward, kneeling here or standing here or whatever. I invite you to do that today. I know you could just do it right there at your seat, but I believe God is calling us in 2017 just to take a new step of complete surrender to him, including myself, and that we would open our heart to him. If there's someone here today that's never even received Christ as their Lord and Savior, I welcome you also to come today, and we'd be happy to talk to you and pray with you after the service here this morning. But open your heart to Jesus today. Just allow him to move and work in your life. So as we sing this song, I would just invite anyone to come forward here this morning. We'll be happy to pray for you. others are still coming. I'm going to have a group prayer, but I just got to be obedient here this morning. I never met this couple here before, but I just feel like the Lord has a special word for you today of grace. You know, I've been kind of drawn to you since I came here this morning. I don't know, is this your first time? You've been here before, second time, okay. Yeah, I just sense that God wants to pour an overwhelming amount of his love into your life. I don't know what struggles or tests you might be going through, but he says that he sees so much strength in you that he wants to develop, and that 2017 is to be a year of just allowing his grace and his power to flow through your life. And I believe you, as a man, really, he's just calling you to just really take a strong stand for Jesus. Just be fully devoted to him. Fully give yourself to him. And he's going to bless. He's going to anoint your marriage. He's going to strengthen you. You have children? He just wants to bless your family. And he wants your house just to become a place of joy, a place of fellowship and worship. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray, Father, for this couple here this morning. Holy Spirit, I don't know them. I never met them. But Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would anoint and infuse them today with a fresh sense of your purpose and love for their lives, oh God. Lord, that you would cause them this year to have a holy passion for you, oh God. Lord, that their house would be a house of praise and worship. Lord, that you would bless their marriage. You would bless their home. You would bless their children. Lord, that they would give themselves fully to you in 2017, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. And the rest who came here this morning, just lift your hands to the Lord. You know, the Lord just says to you today that he loves you with an eternal and an everlasting love. And he says, my grace is sufficient to meet every need. And he sees your heart. He sees your heart of love. He sees the devotion that you desire to have for him. And he says, this year will be a year of passionately seeking my presence. He says, when you come into my presence, there will not be a disappointment. You will find fullness of joy beyond any comparable earthly joy or pleasure. You will enter into a whole new realm of my presence and experience such a powerful anointing and grace in your life. He says, I want to fill your home. I want to fill your life. I want to fill your soul with the overwhelming sense of my peace. Peace. I just speak peace to your hearts today. That it won't be a striving. It won't be a striving, but rather as you go forward in 2017, it won't be a striving, but rather it'll be just a surrender. And as you surrender, the Lord says, I will just fill you with my peace and my security, my direction, fears and disappointments and things that have tended to hold you back. They will be shattered in the name of Jesus. And you will find great liberty and joy. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, I just thank you for these and everyone here this morning, Father God. Just we desire, Father, just to passionately follow after you, Lord. Help us to make that decision today, Father, that choice that we choose to follow you, Father, and not just hope to follow you, but we choose today to follow you with renewed passion, renewed zeal, Father God. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, if any of you came forward, if you want further prayer, stay here. Everyone else is dismissed, but if you desire further prayer, just feel free to come forward. We'll be happy to pray with you.
Before creation turn.